Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Vote and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
All people at home!
What's up with that?
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Let's get it on.
Move to the music, play that fucking music. Move it to the music.
Welcome to Monday Night Rollins.
Woo!
Yo ho ho and a bottle of Dom.
Bro.
The new day.
Let me talk to you.
If I can be serious for a minute.
For the love of God, stay away from the Dippin' Dots.
Move to the music, play that fucking music. Move it to the music, yeah.
Acknowledge me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney. I am the artist, formerly known as Pizza Funny, and I am joined, as always, by the man, the myth, the legend, the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. It's him, it is him, it doth be. An architect and a scientist, indeed, it's DPP.
I'm having a weird, like, deja vu moment here or something. Like, odd. I don't know what's happening.
Like, we've done this for the 450th time?
No, like just like I just did the intro like a minute and a half ago or something. I don't know. It's weird.
You're supposed to ask
a black
me
cat.
After the show.
It's weird.
Do you want to talk about it now? No, you brought it up. Sounds like you want to talk about
it. Up.
You're fine. You say you're fine. You don't act like you're fine.
I didn't bring it up at all. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm just joining
us. Case of deja vu. That's all.
Is the trivia trickster himself, the funky, phenomenally fresh one, AJ Balazs, brother.
God, it is so nice actually hearing the alliteration and all that, because I've made excursions when we're not doing stuff to mindless wrestling, and DJ's just like, God, I forget every single time all of your nicknames that Tunney gives you. So it's nice hearing all the nicknames again.
Like I said, we've been doing it for a while. 450, welcome to the four. It's not we're not doing anything special. We're here, we're doing a fun show. I think the big one's in about 50 weeks or so.
Something to that effect.
Somewhere around there, maybe a little shorter. But yeah, 450, that's pretty cool. I'll take it. Thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody that's ever come on the show. Thank you, everybody that's ever been a part of the show. Thank you for, you know, all of it. Yeah, 450, okay. That's all I got there. DP, let's let everybody know what's happening this week on, well, the 450th edition of the podcast known as DWI.
Well, we're waiting.
Well, it's the big show.
And it's the Bad Blood Aftermath Sheet.
450th time.
No, that's not. That is
that. Waiting when for that long. I've been waiting for, so long.
Yeah. When did you start doing the sheet thing?
Oh, man, I don't know.
That's a great question. I know you've done it for as long as
150.
I've been on. And that was like 200-something.
Do you have a timestamp on the creation of the Big Show sheet soundbite?
Maybe. Maybe.
Look at the brain on this guy. Well, maybe. While you're looking that up, I'll tell you what was happening. So DP talked about having to play the intro twice, and he'll probably cut out the first time he played it. But that voice isolation, when you send out sound, it tries to kill everything except for like the talk that comes through in your soundbite. So we couldn't hear music, really. It's really muffled.
When did they start
shit? So we heard...
It was happening to me, Andrew, and I had to turn it off, or maybe Dave in an attitude of aggression one. But anyway, yeah, so for those of you who use Skype to podcast, to record, and do other stuff, there you go. You go into your settings, audio and video, scroll down underneath microphone, and it's voice isolation. You want to turn it off if you're playing sound while you're recording, because the other people won't be able to hear it. So there you go. That's my public service announcement for the rest of 2024.
Yeah, because we got like we got all the sayings like the Dippin' Dots, let me talk to you, and everything else. But like the only thing you could hear is move to the music, play the fucking music, and that was it.
Hey, but it was meant to be played that way. You don't know.
Sure. People still clamor to this day that we need that theme song back for Raw.
We still do. I mean,
no timestamp.
It's been 5 years. January 2019, the Big Show sheet was introduced as a soundbite.
So that was right before me. That was a year before me, actually. So
that's about probably close to 200 episodes ago. Between 200, probably 230-ish episodes, I'd say. In 5 years, we've missed maybe.
I would say that's between like 180 and 210, because I came on in like 236.
Unless
he came on, so I would say, it's probably close to 200.
And that's when it was last modified, so maybe it was created before then. Where's my date created? Yeah, same date. All right. Yep, there you go.
There you go. A little DWI history for you on episode 450.
Pull back
and
the old curtain.
Helpful Skype tip as well from PC Tunny. So there you go. All right, well, hey, I have my finger on my mouse here. Like, I'm going to go ahead and try to do something here, but I don't have to do anything but let you know. We're going to a commercial break, and when we come back... Oh, no, we're doing the Big Show sheet. Did you play it? Yeah, you did. You guys said Sheeta.
We sure did.
Man, I got so confused
for like
today.
200 episodes, I've been doing this shit.
Yeah.
I've been doing this sheet.
We're going to review Bad Blood. We're going to talk about trivia. We're going to talk about some dumb championship. And we're going to talk about an okay championship match. We'll be right back. Oh, that was rough.
Never tell me where you have your finger ever again.
450 times. Still can't get it right.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
All right, folks, let's get it rocking and rolling here with Bad Blood Preview. I'd be remiss, though, if I didn't tell you to head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick yourself up a t-shirt. Doesn't have to be a t-shirt. It can be a tank top. It can be a long sleeve. It can even be a hoodie. Get it in soft style. Your nipples will thank you. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Makes a great gift. as well. Holidays coming up. Don't get dad a tie. You know, that coworker that you know watches wrestling, get him a wrestling shirt. They'll love it. I promise you. There you go. Keep the email receipt, though, in case you get the wrong size. Bad blood. Bad blood, bad blood, bad blood. I enjoyed it. I was another in a long line of WWE pay-per-views besides Not So Money in the Bank this year. Possible one of the potential match of the year candidate during this match. I thought the women were, but Rock comes back as well. Overall, how high would you rate this, and how much did you enjoy this show, DP?
Well, I got to start by saying I didn't realize it started at 5 o'clock Central. So when 6 o'clock
for you
showed up, and we were in towards the start of the Nia Jax match, and I'm like, okay, cool. They started with that. I'm like, oh, they must have started a few minutes early. And then realized I missed an entire match. So that was great. But overall,
did you go back? Did you go back afterwards or did you go back during?
I tried to go back during and I couldn't. It wouldn't let me.
Really? I thought you could now.
That's what I thought too. And
I was about to say, I usually can rewind on the Peacock to watch something that happened prior.
I tried to track back after that match and it would not let me go back. So unless it was weird feed or something that I had, but I thought you could too, because on the last show, I did.
Some people were having problems with the audio slipping out too. I did not have that.
I didn't have that issue either.
I didn't.
NBC,
I didn't have any
fix
problem.
Your cock.
Oh, God. Wow. Okay. Well, then.
Wow. Wow.
Save that for Saturday night's main event.
Wow.
Good response for that.
I liked.
Wow.
I liked it. I thought it was, other than the Punk McIntyre, like it started and ended great. The middle was kind of meh. I'd probably give it a 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah, since I did watch the Hell in a Cell match, I'm going to give it a little bit of a higher score because on one side, that was a damn good match. I loved Punk versus McIntyre, which I'm pretty sure we'll talk about first, but I'd give that an 8.5.
Yeah, what? If you want to lead into it after you're done talking about the card, go ahead.
Yeah, I can. But the other thing is, God damn it, you ruined trivia because it wasn't the main event, it was the opening match. We cannot say Bad Blood had a Hell in a Cell match every single time a Bad Blood pay-per-view happened.
Did you see The Rock on social media before the I think on Friday night, he said fuck you Punk or something like that because of, you know, for the main event or something, or fuck your main event Punk, something like that.
Something to that effect, which I did see, and I'm just like, you didn't just fuck over Punk, you fucked over me. That was a trivia question like 3-4 weeks ago, assholes. But no, that was a damn good match. It had the brutality of what we are so used to with a Hell in a Cell match. Drew got cut open, like he had a Crimson Mask the hard way. I think it said he had 14 staples after everything was said and done. So he bled the hard way, and it showed. It was a damn brutal match. You saw some pretty crazy moves also done, like Punk moving out of the way of a claymore into the steel steps. And for everyone that thinks that Punk is not going to return for a while, he just doesn't like the Saudi Arabia stuff, so he's going to come back after Crown Jewel. But boy, was that match everything that we could have asked for a Hell in a Cell. It had the brutality, it had the weapons, it stayed inside the cell most of the time. It was great.
Yeah, we can talk about that right now. I think he was just selling the cell, to be honest with you. Like, you know, that's how much it gets to you. That's how beat up I am, right? Right now, that's how I feel. I think he'll be back before then. Boy, what jam in the sand is this? We got to figure it out.
I did text Platt, and I asked him, I will give you the exact wording that I told him to before I asked him how everything was going with him. I need a new name for Jam in the Sand. I do not trust these honkies to give me a good name, so I need someone that has a good cook here.
Are you fucking kidding me?
So he said, Jam in the Sand 12. We gonna keep getting this money. Vince can go to hell.
Oh, that's horrible. Nothing rhymes with 12. What rhymes with 12? Yeah, crackers.
Shelf? No. I said honkies. I didn't say crackers.
What's worse?
That's a good question.
I really don't care. Thanks out of shape. Out of shape comedy mind from Chris Platt there. That was horrible. What? Right? 12.
Shelf?
12.
Shelf.
Valve.
Valve. Valve. Valve, not really. That's a stretch.
Delve. Delve?
Delve. That's a good one.
Shelve. But how do you finish with those words? How do you finish with those words, guys? This is really tough stuff. All right,
you
we're going to
have to finish
think
with it, do you? Can you start with it? Put it on the shelf. It's Jam in the Sand 12. I don't know.
Wow.
Jam in the Sand 12. Please put this on the shelf, especially with something that's coming back, apparently. put the belt back on
delve.
The shelf.
Delve. You got to do something with delve. It's about the best you got.
I don't like it.
Jam in the Sand 12 is just not quite himself. Platt's not quite
not
himself.
Themselves.
No, this is just bad. Stop.
There's
it's
not
horrible.
Enough.
We're trying more than Platt did. I told him this on a Thursday, and he got back to me on a Saturday.
Well, that's kind of the way he is nowadays.
True.
Anyway.
Jam in the Sand 12. Can we get to 13? Because nothing rhymes with 12.
Oh, Lord, help us. But we're still talking about Punk and McIntyre? Yeah, we were. We're talking
Aftermath.
About whether or not Punk was going to be at, yeah. Drew has got to be out for a while here. Yeah, it was just a great match. The psychology was really good. The execution of everything was good. You know, should it have been last? Maybe. I don't know. I don't think it needed to be. I think everything went off pretty good.
It was a good start to the match. It was just, you know, I'm being petty for the sake of, God damn it, you ruined my trivia.
I mean, I thought it was really cool for me personally because I turned it on at like Central Time, like 4:55, literally, you know, and as I turned it on, then I went and grabbed like snacks and a beer and stuff and sat down as it started and sure as shit. It's 45, 50 minutes later, and I just watched one of the better Hell in a Cell matches all time.
Right. And there is a reason as to why it did start early. It was because...
Unlike Dan.
Oh, Jesus.
It had to start with the fucking not-so-good Nia Jax Bayley match.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
And the reason why that it did start earlier than usual is because UFC also had their event that was going on at the same time in Salt Lake City, which no, I did not get tickets to, sadly enough. So they asked to do the Bad Blood pay-per-view from 6 Eastern to how long it went, and then afterward for TKO you could just watch UFC, I think it was 309. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that, but there was a UFC event that was happening at the same day on the same time.
I mean, they could start as early as they want. Like, the next one's actually one of my favorite starting times, which I think it's always noon when it's in Saudi.
Yep.
Central.
Noon
even maybe
one.
11,
either
I'm
way.
Not sure.
But, I think it's 11 my time, which is mountain, so noon your time.
Okay.
Either way,
so
I'm good with that as long as I would have known. I would have paid attention to it started an hour earlier than normal on the normal time.
AJ,
we're going to need an intervention.
When it's PLE day, we're going to both have to remind Dan when the PLE's on.
Need like a screen up here that tells me a start time.
Match of the year so far, yes or no for you guys? Or you're not sure, you haven't thought about it that much, but it's definitely a candidate?
It's definitely a candidate. I haven't thought of it that much. I have to go into my of matches.
Well, here's the thing, guys. We are in the 10th out of 12 months of the year, and the Swaggies are like 3 months away. So, yeah, it's time to start like slowly compiling those lists so, like, the day before you don't have to put in 4 hours of research so you don't sound like you just picked everything and cherry-picked it from a bunch of fucking lists, right?
Yeah, and not to mention, it's also going to be decade of dad-ass for the Swaggies.
Oh, yeah. Well, Attitude of Aggression 300 is coming up very, very soon, so you guys will definitely be notified of that.
It's very funny. What did you find? I was going to swing back to, like, look back at different years, and the exact one.
What did you find?
Exact one I pulled open is last year's swag.
Oh, you did right away. I was going to say, what did you find in the annals of history?
I pulled back to a sheet, and it was the exact last year's Swaggies. That's pretty funny.
What'd you give Match of the Year last year?
Oh, which one was that? Day two? Day one?
Gotta
be. Do we have a Match of the Year?
Yeah.
Men's Match of the Year was Gunther, Sheamus, and Drew McIntyre. Overall Match of the Year was WrestleMania, KO, and Sami Zayn versus the Usos.
Hmm.
That would have been day two.
That was day two. Yep.
Yeah.
Women's War Games, Match of the Year for the women's.
No, sorry. My note. Oh! I do have it. There it is. I got it. Okay.
That. Yeah.
I had the same men's match of the year.
Yep.
And then,
damn it, you bastards are going to make me look through my Google Docs real quick.
I had Charlotte and Rhea overall match of the year at Mania.
Yeah, okay. Mania match, yeah. I think we all agreed that Mania was just the overall pay-per-view of the year as well. Like, had a lot of matches that were way up there.
It was unanimous. It was the only unanimous one of the year.
Mania Day 1?
Yep. We did. Yeah, I got it starred right here, actually.
There you go.
Okay, well, a little flashback. So as you people start to think about...
get ready for next year.
What your awards seasons are going to look like, right? Let's get into that. Nia Jax taking care of business, taking care of Bayley, retaining her title. It sucks because there was just a few sequences that looked like they were trying them out for the first time on a PLE, and they didn't come across very well. But besides them, I enjoyed the match more than people thought. There were some really glaring things that just don't usually happen in Bayley matches, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it was a little awkward, you know. I don't understand why they would do that. You hash that stuff out, you know, on your TV matches or your, you know.
Well, that's what your house shows are for.
And stuff, yeah. Just some of it just looked a little awkward. You know, they had to get to the point of Tiffany coming out and trying to help, you know, Nia miss the hitting Bayley with the briefcase the first time that they had to do it twice.
Right.
Well, you know, I mean, made stuff awkward. Like, the endings to these matches were both the women's matches just got screwed up completely. And then, yeah, then her handing or the referee picking up the briefcase and Nia sitting up like the Undertaker and looking like Tiffy was going to screw her over. So that's, continue that storyline for a while, which we know was going to happen. I think everything that we thought was going to happen in this storyline continued. The match was all right, you know.
See, I agree where the match was good, except for the glaring issues that happened. Like you said, like the ref picking up.
Nia trying, was it like the Hurricane Rana or something?
Something to that effect, which, like, I'm not saying, like, don't do it, but it's not something that she usually does, so unless you have more practice with it.
Well, that's the thing. Right, it looked like they're trying something out for the first time, and I mean, it's okay. I mean, we're going to move on from it. It's just, it was probably the worst match of the show.
True. Where it's, I understand that you were trying to do new things to entice the match because we've seen in recent history that, you know, we jokingly say that there's a quote-unquote piss break match or a match that shouldn't be on the card, where this match should be on the card, but you don't need to go out of your realm of, you know, doing a Hurricane Rana and just having awkward botches after awkward botches, which was what happened in this match. And for some reason, it has a good track history of the second match on a card where it's, pleased we have to watch this match. And it was a great, it was a good match, all things considered. It was just, we didn't have to go into a bag of tricks to see if we can make this match enticing after a 31-minute Hell in a Cell match. You should know where your match is at. You should understand that you designated 14 minutes to just making the match look like Nia is still that irresistible force that she calls herself. And, you know, you can't stop her. You can try to stop her, but there's going to be something in the way that prevents that, which is what should happen. You don't have to go into this bag of tricks of a Hurricane Rana, have a run-in with Tiffy with the briefcase, and then just somehow botch that. I don't understand how they botched that, but they did. It's just a whole lot of things that I just went, why? You had a good match. You didn't have to sprinkle special things in there. Just why?
How much longer does Tiff hang onto the briefcase?
I would say that she has this briefcase, so she's the first woman to cash in, maybe either on Mania, or she would cash in at the Royal Rumble. That would be the where I would see this.
It's going to happen next week on Raw.
Fuck no.
Come back.
Why pivot to Liv Morgan for no goddamn reason? Especially, we'll talk about what happened.
No, listen, if she cashes in next week on Raw, I'm totally going to fucking... DP, mark the tape. Where did he say that? In case it happens, we have to play it next week. We have to play what he just said, it won't happen until the Rumble or Mania.
Like 24 minutes in or something like that?
I
hope to God not, because that makes no sense. You're playing up... Triple H likes to slow burn.
But they've been teasing it for a while already. Like, I feel like the thing is, though, it's going to happen related to Nia Jax's title reign.
You think?
One way or another. So I don't think Nia Jax is going to be holding the title. Oh, boy, Royal Rumble is like the latest possible time, I think.
I mean, unless...
Yeah, that's why I said maybe Rumble.
I think Tiffany Stratton's defending the title at Royal Rumble. Possibly against Nia Jax, but I think she cashes in before Royal Rumble. I'll say that.
Unless, like, if you're... Yeah, if they can't... They can't switch it over to Liv and Rhea. They got, I mean, unless they pass that storyline up.
How about on a Saturday night's main event where they have a tag match and they lose and Nia's the one that gets pinned and she cashes in, and then there you got your program for Royal Rumble.
You got something to tell on Saturday night's main event then. That'd be a good one to do it.
Man, I can't wait for that, dude.
Yeah, that'd be it. I can't wait.
Yeah. Right. That was awesome. You have it? Do you have Bowfinger? Do you have it?
I don't have it.
Or did
that,
I have
no.
it?
You must have it if you have it. I don't, but now I need to get it.
Awesome. Those are all stunt drivers. So, really?
I did really well, yeah. These fucking stunt drivers are very impressed.
You're talking to me to run across the fucking freeway and rush hour traffic in California? Just don't stop. They won't hit you. They're all stunt drivers.
I really got.
Oh my god. It's hilarious that two of our favorite Eddie Murphy movies are so underrated cult classics. One of our Dan and I's is Bullfinger, which we're talking about right now, with Steve Martin and Heather Graham and Eddie Murphy. And the other one is Norbit.
Norbit's so good. Oh my god!
It's so fucking.
That's not a bad one to have a guilty pleasure. I like Norbit.
How could I be getting fatter? My belly's the same distance from the steering wheel since this time. And then he's like, "I've been moving the seat back for 15 years. It don't go back no more."
Uh.
Classics. All right. What were we doing?
I think we're moving on. Talking about another Priest and Balor.
Go ahead, DP. I barely remember watching this match, to be honest with you.
I'm pretty sure the ending of this one got screwed up a little bit, too, after Judgment Day got involved, and he was supposed to get up to catch Balor on the coup de grace, and he didn't, so he like landed on his back, and then they had to do it again. Like, it was another botched ending, and it was really tough. Like, I don't think it was a bad match overall. They had some good spots, but like, they botched an ending.
Are you guys ready for Rhea and Priest to move on, go their own separate ways, get away from the Judgment Day and the Dominic storyline? I totally am. I'm just kind of, it's not bad yet, but I don't want to see it get bad.
It's starting to get bad, which we'll talk about the Rhea and Liv match afterward, but I agree where I think Damian even said in the press conference that him and Rhea, they're going to go their separate ways and get things situated on their own terms, but this match was okay. Like you said, the botch of the coup de grace, where I am under the strict ideal of if you go to the well one too many times, it's going to look bad, where you do a coup de grace, things were miscalculated, you know, timing wasn't right and everything. Let me do a coup de grace again. No, that's a terrible idea. It makes it look bad. It makes it look like that F word that everyone associates with professional wrestling. It just looks bad. Like, do something else. Do a missile drop kick, or like pretend that you're going to go for one or something. But geez Louise, this match was good. A good old cod piece came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting that with the fucking entrance. But it was a good match, all things considered. It was a blood feud type of match where things happened, and I'm glad that Damian got the win, because after everything happened with Gunther and everything else, he kind of needed that rebound win, per se, where it's, well, let me do the South of Heaven catching off of the coup de grace and win the match. But it was a clusterfuck just because of the Judgment Day, and that's the only reason why I dock points from this match, because of the clusterfuck.
Right, and that's kind of my point, is I'm ready for it to be done with all the run-ins and the you know, dirty finishes and everything else. Let's move on. Let's see what the new Judgment Day can do without, you know, having the crutch of battling Priest and Rhea. And speaking of Rhea, winner, but by DQ. Dan, how did you enjoy your shark cage match, dude?
Yeah, brother. You know how much I love shark cages, dude. Been waiting for him for, 7 years?
What?
Yeah. Just as terrible as they always are.
What?
What?
They, I was kind of surprised they did that little move with Dominic falling out of the cage and dangling like that, because that could have went terribly wrong. I'm sure he was sitting there for the whole, 10 minutes he was in there yanking on that fucking chain to make sure it was not going to get loose, because that was a little scary, in my opinion. I think it was a good idea. They had a good idea to have him dangling there and Rhea Ripley hitting him with the kendo stick like a pinata. It was funny. Haha. It's too bad they botched the shit out of that one, too. And here comes Raquel Rodriguez too early when the referee's standing fucking there and completely fucked that whole thing up. And the referee was forced to have to DQ after he tried to ignore the fact that she was standing right next to him. Like, oh my God. It was just terrible. Like, I don't understand this. Raquel, why can't they get this fucking right? What'd I say?
Raquel Rodriguez, by the way, returning to a resounding audience of crickets.
Yeah. Why? Because nobody gives a shit.
And then she tries to fucking put her over for the pin after the match is over.
After the bell rang.
Can we get some common... Not so common sense, eh? Not nope. so common nope. sense.
That's what no, happens. Not...
AJ's having a headache. I get over there.
No, I'm having a headache just because you had to remind... I completely blocked the fact that the bell already rang and Raquel did the Tejana bomb and did the pin, and I completely fucking forgot about that. Thank you for reminding me of that awful Wait. Finish. Technically and, speaking, it was a finish.
And she because... almost dropped her on Liv when she started to pick her up and was like, oh shit, yeah, yep. Liv's right there. Let's move over a little bit. Like, hey.
At least she had the foresight to actually move with the Tejana bomb, but... Yeah, thank you, Krusty. Where it was a good match leading up to until Dominik, because you know he was chained up and he was hanging, and as soon as I saw that happen, I just leaned back in my chair and I went, "How are they gonna fuck this up?" And boy, did they fuck it up to astronomical amounts of what I was not expecting. Where it's Rhea kind of smiled and went, "Ha, he's hanging. Let me hit him like a pinata." And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. But what is the payoff here? Raquel comes out, like you said, Tunny, to the sound of crickets. The crowd went mild, which I'm happy Raquel's back after she got done with her.
Does anybody even use the mild sauce at Taco Bell?
I mean, it's not a bad flavoring, but no.
It's hot.
What are you?
It's hot or not? It's hot or higher. I mean,
what, it's either hot or fire for me.
You're so you will go back and forth.
It's either hot or fire, depending if I want to try to a little more spicy or not.
So you'll mix it up though.
Yeah.
Dan.
I think I stick with the hot. I don't think I do the fire at all. I'm usually. Just a hot sauce. Perfect.
Any guesses?
Is there an extreme?
Something tells me you go Diablo.
Diablo, that's it.
Just because you said any guesses, that's why Muy I'm like, caliente. You go Diablo.
So, no, do they have Diablo?
Yeah, it's the black pouch.
Oh, yeah. No, I actually, you want to know, here's the true story. I'm a fire guy, but I'm... But, like, on a soft cell Taco Supreme, I'll put two fire sauces on it.
That's not bad.
No. But, so, the black packet, I forget what it's called again.
Diablo?
Is it the Diablo? Okay, so they have that, right? I guess. I do remember getting it one time, hearing about it, and I got it. And I had it on, I had a taco, and I, you know, the packet, you tear the corner, and I'm rolling it back, and pushing the belt back and forth, and I look at it, and I'm like, nope. It don't look good.
It'll look brown.
See, no, the weird thing
is... I just remember it didn't look good. I just remember I put it on one item one time and did not even eat it. Just threw it out.
Did it look like what it's going to look like when it comes out?
Sometimes when... or anyway, I was going to tell a different taco story, but I probably already told on this show. The time and threw up in the car.
No, but the Diablo sauce, it's just hot for the sake of being hot. Where the hot sauce, it has the flavor to it, but it's also hot.
Let's talk about the time you chucked the hot sauce packets back through the window.
Jesus Christ, did you actually fucking do that?
It's
I need to hear this story. Hold on, wait, I'm muting myself to hear this.
Yeah. I need a refresher, to be honest with you. I don't remember. Yeah. I 100% believe you. We were probably in our early 20s.
I think it was 2 in the morning, probably.
Like after Mary's? We're on 27th Street?
It was on 27th Street. Taco Bell, 27th Street. Yeah, we went through the drive-thru. I'm sure Nate was in the back seat.
You driving?
I was driving. I was driving because we pulled up and you're like, I get hot sauce or whatever. I'm like, I'm fine. And so I asked him for hot sauce or whatever. And you looked in the bag and it was like 3 of them. And you're like, can we get some more fucking hot sauce? And the guy
I
like,
said,
took a handful and like dropped it into the car. Like he just threw it into the car to us and you grabbed him and chucked him right back into the window.
God, that sounds like honey. That sounds exactly like honey.
You know what? Let me tell you, that's what happens when you have $3.50 rail drink,
32 ounce
rail drinks, and $2.50 32 ounce tappers. Okay, that's the kind of place we were going to back then. And here's the thing too, we were watching. It was the Giants and Angels World Series. Were you with us? Or was it Kevin and Tony and I and Nate?
I don't remember the Giants had, Angels ones.
Do you remember the one when they got
was
in the
Giants
fight
and
at
Angels in a fucking
were
World
you
Series?
With us? Dusty Baker was the manager. He pulled the starter too soon and the Angels won. Anyway, 0-2 probably. We had to pull one of the tables down in the corner by the TV and the dartboards because two guys were fighting at the pool table and chucking pool balls at each other.
I was not there for that one, but I know that story. Oh. Didn't they go out the door and throw one out the door when they chased him out the door? Something like that?
I don't know. That's like the other my other favorite story from there is when Tony got into it playing pool with some guy, so he grabbed his car keys when he wasn't looking and he threw him down one of the pockets at a pool table.
Jesus Christ. Why does that sound like? And I'll give him a shout, and I'll even send him the link to this so he can listen to it. It sounds like my buddy Chris, where he will do the most debauchery thing. He claims to be the Triple H between the two of us, but he's 90s Shawn Michaels, where he will go out 2 in the morning. We've gone to Taco Bell, had like heart-to-hearts while, I'll admit it, cross-faded in the Taco Bell parking lot. But he would do the dumbest of dumbs where I think at one point we tried guessing what a buddy of ours would buy at the drink. And he's like, I'll bet you $10 they get a rum and Coke. And I'm like, what the fuck? Why are you randomly betting on random drinks like this dumb shit? And it's like, don't worry. No, I got this. I know him so well. Completely fucking wrong whenever the order came out and everything. God, there has to be one day where he's not busy, because I know he works late at night, but I need to add him on here just for one day, just for the debauchery stories, if we ever have that moment. After
dark episode. Maybe you should get your own podcast.
Maybe I should.
We can expand chairs. See, listen, you don't bring up ideas around PC Tunney, because you know what happens? He gives you homework.
Yeah, that's true. But God, He would do the dumbest of things where he would call me the Shawn Michaels and he's the Triple H, but I'm like, the stories that I've heard of him, no, it's the other way around. I'm the Trips, you're the Shawn Michaels, all your crazy stories.
Anyway,
so the Rock
let's get
up.
To the Rock showed up. Let's get to that. Speaking of Triple
H, the Rock showed up.
Speaking of the Attitude Era, you know, and here's the thing about the previous three matches we covered. Like, they were good matches. It's just, there were just some really glaring things that didn't go so well in every single one of those matches. So, it's just kind of the ribbon we can put on that. That's why this was still a really good pay-per-view. Because that Hell in the Cell match was amazing. And this was a good tag match. Cody, Roman, Solo, and Jacob. I mean, obviously, the ending with The Rock coming out as the show was closing. But the tag match was really good. Roman's entrance is just epic, as always. He looked fucking amazing. He looked like a guy who wasn't out on the road for the last however many months, you know? And that's where, like, I seen a thing on fucking X about, like, Cody not being, you know, it was something like, not body shaming, but, like, kind of pointing out that Cody's not, like, cut up right now. Well, Cody's been fucking touring since WrestleMania, like been full time plus. So, you know, it's hard for those guys to stay in that amazing shape, you know, besides the run up to WrestleMania year round. You kind of can notice that with a lot of the guys if you haven't. I'm sorry if I broke the glass, but great tag match. Can't wait for what we're going to get at Survivor Series. AJ, how'd you feel about the match in general, though, before The Rock came out to end the show?
that was a damn good match where I appreciate the fact that, you know, Roman has the god tier entrance. Cody also had a great entrance where he had the cut up.
Oh, the band.
Like he had the sleeveless jacket. He had the band playing him out and everything. That was amazing.
That was one of the best entrances of the year, actually.
And really, you know, you had the Bloodline come out as the Bloodline.
Cody's entrance, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, but let's not forget, like, that match was great. You know, they played up to, you know, we want Roman against Solo, and we got that a little bit in the match and everything. But again, Solo's Bloodline came out, and who did we get as a return? We got the backup quarterback. We got Jimmy returning as well, making sure that Roman, the true tribal chief, the original tribal chief, gets that win. And as you said,
chief,
a good old Dwayne the Rocky Johnson came out and kind of did a stare down. A bunch of people are saying he stared down The Rock. A bunch of people are saying he stared down Roman. A bunch of people are saying he stared down Cody.
I'm glad you brought up Jimmy. I thought the biggest, coolest thing about that was the fact that Roman was shocked that Jimmy would still have his back first, and secondly, that Jimmy convinced Roman with little hesitation that they need to go in and save Cody. How do you feel about those two things, DP?
Yeah, that was really interesting. I mean, I like that Jimmy's kind of trying to get him to see things from a different light, kind of, like, right? Like, hey, after everything we've been through, we're still brothers. I still got your back. But also, dude, Cody, you know, you said you were going to have his back. You got to honor your word. And he was like, nope, that was only during the match. It's over. This is something different now. And he's like, no, it's still the fucking show, man. This is still, you had your word. You got to live up to it. You know, and then Roman does it. So it was a really cool way to do that. Real cool story. Obviously, that's going to continue to the next members that join the team. But really neat. Really neat way they're doing that right now. And just, yeah, really awesome way to end that whole thing.
And mind you, I told this to the Mindless Boys when I was on there last week, where Roman doesn't go back on his word. Remember, everything that happened with a betrayal wasn't Roman. His word is law, where Jay was the one that betrayed the Bloodline. Rollins and Dean both betrayed the Shield in their respective turns on that. Roman never betrayed anyone. Roman's word is law. As much as he wants to be the heel, as much as he's like the top bad guy and everything else, the truth, all pun intended, reigns with Roman Reigns' word. So no matter what, you're like, Cody said it to Randy Orton. Like, I trust Roman. I believe what he's saying is true. His word is law. And we kind of had like a little glimpse of maybe it's not. But at the same time, we also had Roman for the past 10 years has always been honest, which is, you always see out of a heel, where there's some honesty in the heel, but you don't want to accept it, where that honesty's there. But damn, is it hard to like that honesty.
Well, I think we're looking at one of the biggest, you know, face runs when he eventually gets the belt back. He's going to be champion again at some point. And he is Hulk Hogan modern day, because whenever he's on a PLE, he's last. Doesn't matter, even if there's a tradition for Hell in a Cell, right? So any last thoughts on anything from the Bad Blood, guys? No,
I don't think so.
Sounds
good. I don't think so.
I was about to say, what about the aftermath? Kevin Owens apparently meeting up with Cody
WWE letting social media kind of take care of it and kind of putting it out there like that. Yeah, that should be interesting. That should be really interesting.
Well, ignoring it too. That's just kind of ignoring.
I mean, something's going to happen on SmackDown, right? I mean, you'd think.
apparently Triple H suspended KO, quote unquote suspended, you know, kayfabe suspended. But you can definitely see like some cracks going through here where KO might be the next in line for another championship match. And not to forget, the person that Cody talked to about trusting Roman was Randy Orton. Randy Orton doesn't really have the best track record when it comes to trusting, if you know what I mean.
Well, we'll see what happens here. We're kind of moving towards Survivor Series first, so, and there's rumors of Cody being in a War Games team with Roman Reigns and the rest of that side of the bloodline, so there's definitely seeds being laid. I mean, I would love to see nothing more than Cody versus Randy Orton at WrestleMania instead of more Cody and Bloodline stuff, but here nor there, we're done with this topic. Bad Blood, another really good pay-per-view. We enjoyed it. The bread was excellent. The middle had a lot of quality. There was just a few things that, you know, I had to pull a little gristle out here and there. But otherwise, the flavor was chef's kiss. DWI 450. We'll be right back after this, DP.
Now a word from my god, our sponsor.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
I'm not going to lie, I miss that good old beer crack. It's trivia, as always. I always try to provide for this, and especially since it's 450, everybody. So I got some trivia. It's Woo-hoo! Not necessarily special. I kind of had to try to figure it out throughout the day to get this trivia started. But hey, I got three, so we're going to do the traditional 1, 2, 3. So, Tunny, I'll let you be the first one to decide here. Door number one, door number two, or door number three?
Let's go. Why not door number three, hey? Why not?
Why not?
Which current WWE wrestler has the best undefeated streak in Hell in a Cell?
Ooh.
We had the Hell in a Cell with Punk and McIntyre. That's why I kind of felt that we need an HAIC match here for this trivia.
What's the question again?
Which current wrestler has the best undefeated streak at Hell in a Cell?
Best undefeated streak.
I'll give it a little.
Not the current undefeated streak necessarily, but the best.
The longest streak? The longest winning streak, you mean?
They're undefeated in Hell in a Cell. But it's a current wrestler with an undefeated, like a quote unquote undefeated streak.
Oh, well, that's easy. I mean, this is a little bit of like
is it?
This is a little bit like Cliff Clavin saying, who are three people who have never been in my mother's kitchen, but here you go.
Honey says Punk, Dan says Orton. It's neither of them, actually. It's actually Kevin.
I knew it wasn't Punk. He's only had one.
Right? Yeah, who currently has the best undefeated streak in WWE's main roster?
I know who it is.
Undefeated streak?
Yeah, they are currently 2-0 in Hell in a Cells.
I know who it is.
Yeah, who?
It's got to be Kane.
Said current.
Starts
Kane
with a
is
K,
not a
though.
Current wrestler.
Starts with a K, though.
Does it?
Kevin Owens?
Yeah, Dan's right. I'll give it to him. It is KO 2-0.
Why does he get a point? Why does he get a point? No, you put Orton down.
It's my damn segment. Orton. I can give him a point.
Oh, this is total fucking BS right here. Hold on a minute. Where do we get second guesses here? And how come I didn't get a second guess?
Because I got it right. All right, no points.
I don't get a guess?
No points.
My guess is Kevin Owens.
Oh,
no, you're wrong.
I wonder why.
Fuck you, Dan. Fuck hard.
Tony, if it makes you feel any better, I'll let you pick one or two.
Mm.
You get to make all the picks.
It does, actually. That's fine. I get to pick twice. Sure, I pick one.
Shithead.
He's not a shithead due to the fact that he did not pick two.
And the fact that Dan has to pick two to close the segment, I already won today.
I'm going to defer. Can I defer?
You can't.
No.
You can't.
This isn't a fucking coin flip in the NFL.
Suck it up and fucking drop a deuce, you ass.
That's what she said.
You've been full for like 2.5 years. You need to drop a deuce.
AJ's calling you out.
Ow.
All right. I'll do the closest, not closest without going over.
Did you really give him a point, though, for that?
Fuck it. Why not?
Oh, what the hell? That's crap. This is in the annals of history. This is going to go down as total BS.
How many intercontinental champions have there been?
Oh, more than seven.
Holy shit.
It's way more than fucking seven.
Oh, I know. Okay, cool. All right. This is a good question.
That's that one. We already did that. So,
in singular people, not like reigns, how many individual people have held the Intercontinental Championship?
Yeah, not reigns, just the number of individuals who have held the title, regardless
Correct.
Of number. Oops, got it. Okay. Oh, man. How many times I've screwed on this list? shit. Wow. All right.
More time to
I
think.
Guess we're just going to write it down. No, I mean, it's not going to really help me get a better answer. Do you got a number?
I got a number.
I mean, Jey Uso's are current all the way back to Pat Patterson.
Here's my answer.
Tunney says 81. Dan says 70. Tunney technically is closer. It is actually 91.
Oh, shit. I mean, technically, I'm not even close.
Point.
You get half a point.
You get a point. Yes, you get a point. I said closest to the number, so you're off by 10. Dan was off by 21.
I'm good at math. Thank you.
No problem. So Dan's dropping that deuce because we forced him to. We gave him.
This is your pick, not mine.
In Dan and AJ's fantasy world, I'm tied with Dan, but in the real world, I'm up 1-0.
No, this is the real world. You're tied. What move?
Yes, I'm going home.
And this is a high flying move. I'll give you the hint. It is a high flying move.
Is it an elbow?
What move was originally called the Firebird Splash in Japan that is currently still used today? So the Firebird Splash, what is the current name that we all know and love on our television?
Oh boy.
There's more than one other name for this move.
Correct. What's the other name that we all know modern day for the Firebird Splash?
But there's probably two answers to this, though, I think.
There's only one. I know you're thinking of a second one, but there's only one.
Fuck.
This is probably wrong, but...
Come on, Tony. It's a high-flying move, and it's a splash. Something tells me Hayabusa kind of tricked you up with the Firebird... And Dan wins because we're on episode 450, so it is the 450 splash.
I did that on purpose.
Sure.
You don't think I know what episode it is?
Sure.
The only reason I know is because Tony labels the episode on Skype.
And I put the picture up, too. I put the Phoenix splash to be funny.
I mean, it makes sense with Firebird, but...
I know, that's Freebird? Why I was...
Yeah.
Alright, that's fine. It's all good. Congratulations.
Dan wins. Dan wins three weeks in a row, technically, with trivia.
Your fake victory, but you dropped it, too, so you gotta feel better.
10 pounds lighter, man.
He feels lighter. He feels like a Firebird.
I guess we need music here, huh?
Yeah.
What do you mean? What do I mean? It's the last thing we're going to talk about. And this week, it's a couple things. I want to start with Gunther defeating Sami Zayn because I'm a little bit more passionate about the other thing we're going to talk about. Match was good. Gunther's boring. I'm staying in that camp, period.
Gunther came out on a good
traditional
match.
Traditional wrestler?
I don't care who goes next because I don't really have anything else to say about this half of the fucking segment. So why don't you two talk amongst yourselves until you're done?
Dan, you want to go or do you want me to go?
I think it was a really good match. I think Gunther can put on a good match. He's got to have the right partners, but I think he's great in the ring. Yeah, he's boring on the mic and everything else, but he can put on a good match. Is he going to hold the title for a while? I mean, maybe not. But yeah, he needs a mouthpiece if he's going to make it. Like, if he would have kept Imperium around, I think it would have been a lot better. But I think this match should have been on the pay-per-view. It should have been on Bad Blood. I think this match should have been on Bad Blood. And what we're going to talk about after this should not have been. Go ahead, AJ.
Yeah, but I would... Okay, yeah, I was done talking about it. Sorry.
I like the match where you still had Sammy as the underdog, but you still had Gunther as that unstoppable force that, you know, who can beat Gunther? What more can we do against Gunther? Which I've heard a certain name that if we say it like Beetlejuice too many times, might be the next comeuppance, which I'm not looking forward to. I'm not going to lie.
I think that he was going to pop up on Raw after being at the PPV, the PLE. ABC, PBDs,
XYZ.
No, it was done after.
Oh, okay. But
yeah, Goldberg was there with his kid, Gage Goldberg. Right? Is Gage Goldberg?
Does that count?
I don't think his last name's Goldberg.
His kid's name?
That's their legitimate last name, Dan. What are you talking about?
What? I don't think that's who that
their
was.
That's their shoot last name. Like, his name is legitimately Goldberg.
I was just trying to say the word the third time. He didn't play it.
Play what?
We've said it like five times.
What?
Nothing. The
last name.
Nothing. We're never going to play it again.
Goldberg? Anyway.
Was the broken in half thing Edge versus... No.
No, it wasn't even Edge. That was Mankind getting tossed
off. Oh, no, that was Mankind and Taker. Yeah.
Tossed off Hell in the Cell.
Throwing off the Hell in the Cell, dude.
Yeah.
Bad Blood, dude.
You're welcome. I've been waiting all show to play that song.
Yeah, brother.
You're welcome.
I don't know about that, dude.
Anyway, Gunther, Sammy, yeah. I mean, I feel for Sammy because I don't think he's ever going to win a world championship. But who knows? That you never know. But, I mean, Gunther ain't taking this belt to WrestleMania, let me tell you right now.
Long ways away.
Do either of you think he's going to hold this belt all the way to WrestleMania?
Thought he was.
If he drops it at Rumble, that makes sense. If he drops it at Hell in a Cell, I guess they have a rubber match at Mania, but who would he drop it to? That's the only thing that I have.
Anybody that would be included on a PLE as opposed to being put on Raw. And I know that it doesn't matter. The PLE stuff has already been purchased and that you want a higher rating on TV and things of that nature for USA, whatever. But I don't know, man.
Also, shout out to Raw for being the first two-hour Raw in like 12 years.
And a lot of people said it felt rushed. I was like, I don't know. I'm used to fast-forwarding through Raw anyway, so...
Yeah, fair. I mean, I understand where it's like Seth's promo and then Jay randomly comes out where Seth kind of looks like he's like, what the fuck happened here?
You know what? That part of the show I did watch and I was like, oh, that was kind of cool. That they all led into one another.
That's kind of a cool thing because I think it, you know, it gives the chance for a crowd to get a reaction when you set those two people next to each other. How's the crowd respond? It could lead to other stories, you know. You could have Jay versus Rollins if you wanted to. Or
they used to do that a lot back in the Attitude Era. So anyway, let's get over to the main thing I wanted to talk about for last call. The WWE Crown Jewel Championship. So, to decide the inaugural Crown Jewel Champion, they're taking the current two heavyweight world heavyweight champions, the WWE Champion and the World Heavyweight Champion, and they're going to face off. Neither of those titles on their line, but the winner will be the Crown Jewel Champion and get this big green... strapped. I haven't looked into checking out the intricacies and looking at the plates up front and everything, but it looks okay. But here's my take away from it after rereading the comments and what this is whoever wins this is going to have to defend it at the next Crown Jewel. It's not going to be one every year between the two champions. This is just the way they're doing the inaugural one, if I'm reading this correctly. Two? Why are you doing three?
I'm saying that because there's usually like two or three Crown Jewel events in Saudi Arabia a year.
Right, but I'm saying, so whoever wins this at the next Crown Jewel, there's usually two. There's one in spring and one in fall, right?
I believe so. I think they usually try two sprinkle in a third one, but at least two.
So that means one of these two guys will have to defend it at the next Crown Jewel. So that's kind of cool, but like, do you carry it around with you all the time? Do you only wear it leading up to after the PLE before it? You know what I mean? Does it bust it off with mothballs there? Here's the other thing. By using the two champions, you guarantee having a dusty finish here.
100%. You're not gonna have one of your champions lose clean, like
right.
Yeah, that's just like, not gonna happen.
It's gonna be Gunther here, and the bloodline is gonna cost Cody. I mean, that's what's gonna happen. It's obvious. It's so obvious. Yeah. And that's my whole problem with the way they're doing it. But that's fine if that's what they want to do.
I think that's totally what's gonna happen. That is good news to hear, I guess, that it's not just going to be always the two champions wrestling every year for this thing, because I'm like, that was kind of dumb. Like, I like the idea of having like an undisputed champion ish but then they're gonna have to defend it at Crown Jewel. Like, so you could almost say, all right, every Crown Jewel, like, you're
here's why I think the way that it's going to be like that is because Hunter said it will be defended at each Crown Jewel event and that the inaugural champion will be determined at Crown Jewel. Between the two.
And that makes sense. And I think that makes a lot more sense because you can have it defended at every Crown Jewel pay-per-view, whatever, if there's two or however many a year, you can have it defended every time. Whoever's the champion has to defend it. You don't have to have your world champions on the show if you don't want to then at that point. And you have a title for the Saudis, fine. I'm okay with that if it goes that way. That makes a lot more sense to me. I'm okay with that. I don't think you could carry it around all the time. You just carry it around during, you know, the month that event's coming up, because you're going to have to defend it. And you start whatever story you want to start. Plus, obviously, this is leading to Gunther winning that thing, which makes the opportunity for him to lose the world title that much sooner, because he'll have the crown jewel title and can happily defend that and take him out of the world title picture if you don't want to.
You can only defend it at the crown jewel, though.
Sure. Then he's got something to defend. He's that champion for whatever a couple times, and you can take the title off him if you want to.
It's like a semi-annual thing, though. It's not. Yeah, it's
fine. See, the next two crown jewels, he defends that championship and ends up losing it finally in a year from now at the second one.
You sound like you like it.
I'm fine with it. I didn't hate it. I hated it when it was going to be the two champions. And if that was going to be the case every time, then it was like, well, that's dumb. But if they want to fucking have one because they're giving them a shit ton of money, fine, whatever. Like, that's the way. That's it. Like, that's it.
So he
doesn't like it. AJ.
I don't like it, but I don't care. I guess it's one match. Who cares? He's not going to be touting it for a whole year. Gives a shit. He's not going to walk around with it like the. It's not. It's going to be forgotten about until the time Crown Jewel comes around. Just like every other crap. What happened to the Mage Super Battle Royal? What happened? Or you know,
yeah. I was about to say. So why the Andre the Giant Trophy championship?
Nobody's going to
care. It was part of the fucking last deal, I guess.
Because Saudi Arabia went, hey, we got a shit ton of money. We want some more, and they went, we'll give you a title. Okay.
Clap, good for you, because, okay, with that being said, Gunther versus Cody, okay, there's history there because Cody eliminated Gunther last in, not this year's Royal Rumble, but last year's Royal Rumble. Cool, there's some history there. Awesome. So why are we giving the two biggest champions in our industry a gimmick title that means Jack in shit and Jack left town? Because it makes no damn sense as to why we even have this championship to begin with. Yes, we go to a Saudi show two or three times a year, mostly two, sometimes three, if you know, people are like fiending that much. And it doesn't do anything for anybody. Like you said, Dan, and even Tony said it. Do we just have it randomly in the WWE archives until randomly it's like, oh shit, we got a crown jewel, we gotta hand them that belt real quick for television, so it's like, hey, remember, the crown jewel event's gonna happen Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern.
Make sure you pack your title.
Make sure you pack your title and have to go through another thing with TSA and everything. It makes no sense. The only thing that it helps is we have Survivor Series on the horizon, and that's usually brand versus brand, which it doesn't even feel like we're going to do brand versus brand. It looks like it's going to be Bloodline in a War Games match, which, don't get me wrong, yeah. I'm all for.
Yeah, let's not start playing with that kind of voodoo right there.
But I'm just saying.
We've been asking for it for, you don't complain about not having brand versus brand when you're going to have the Bloodline fucking Civil War Games.
Right, I know, but I'm just saying, like, this is the only way you're getting brand versus brand, technically, because at the end of the show, Cody lifted his title in front of Gunther. I don't remember if it was during Bad Blood or Raw, but he lifted the title against Gunther, and I'm just like, yay, this is leading to, and then I'm just, like, waving my hands the entire time, like, come on, I'm waiting for this, where it makes no sense why we have a crown jewel title. We're only going to defend it twice a year, technically, maybe even three. And what happened to that goddamn greatest battle royal of all time with Braun Strowman, who is on Raw, get like a special title that had like trees as side plates and everything? Like, is that just like, well, that was the greatest Royal Rumble title. That wasn't the crown jewel title.
That's the problem, though. That's what's concerning.
No fucking sense.
No, this just feels like that. It feels like the Andre the Royal Giant Memorial Battle Rumble. That's what this all feels like. So anyway.
But that's not a title that's defended, that could potentially be defended every year. That's just, hey, we have a giant Royal Rumble to honor Andre. It's not like, hey, we have a random championship here.
No. But it's two Minnesota guys
battling for the Bruins replica Memorial Championship that they have on WWE Shop.
No, it's a title, right? But it's only going to be defended twice a year. Right, so it's like a trophy because it's not going to be kept out the whole year. So it feels like those other gimmicks. That's the thing. It's not a title. So like when Bubba Dudley fucking tweeted out, Bully Ray tweeted out that he's tired of all the championships. I'm like, that's apples and oranges here. They didn't add a championship. This isn't something that's going to be talked about all the time. This was, like Dan said, here's another zero on the check. We want a championship. We want a champion. So that's where they're
right.
At. And every smart promoter generally will start a championship with a heel. So we'll see what happens here.
No, I'm not disagreeing. I, as much as I don't like it, I'm not disagreeing. You still have to run a business.
So...
If you get extra zeros, I don't care, but it's right. Still dumb.
We all agree on that. We all agree on that. But we're just coming up with the reasoning. So, all right, that's it. I got nothing left. DWI 450 and the 450 in the books. Yes. All right, guys. AJ, what's going on with you? Let everybody know before we get out of here.
There's not much going on with me, but if you want to figure out everything that's going on with me, it's phenomenal. AJB, that's AJB in all caps. Don't forget, we're not just podcast galore, we are articles galore, sports, entertainment, you name it, we got it all on thechairshot.com. And I'm also not going to lie, I completely forgot there was a video game that came out that I need to download, and that is the newest NHL game that came out. I didn't know that came out last week. So I definitely need to purchase that and get the currently, because they're playing a game against the Islanders as we're recording, the currently undefeated Utah Hockey Club to a Stanley Cup.
Oh boy. Well, you can follow me all over the world by social media interwebs at It's Me DPP. Follow this show at Podcast DWI on the Big Fat X and Facebook.com/DWI podcasts. And if you want to get NHL 25, be ready for an average of 150 hits per game. It's ridiculous. It's not great. And they call my local AHL Milwaukee Admirals the Monsters. Fix your fucking fucking color commentators, guys.
Wow, DP for the jab to end the show. There you go. He's not happy. He's got a lot of problems with you people, and you just heard about him. Thank you, everybody, for listening for over 10 years and 450 episodes. Thank you, everybody, who's done this with us. We love all of you. Follow me at PC Tunney. Until next week, you can kiss my ass!
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Just kidding. Love you guys. Bye.
All right,
what the hell is that?
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Just got a free coffee with my EarniFi points.
Your what?
The points I get with the new EarniFi app from BP and Amoco. I got 250 for signing up and more every time I fill up or buy anything in the C-store.
Oh, can you use points for fuel?
Of course.
And discounts and deals?
On anything.
Oh, like chips?
Mm-hmm.
Sodas?
You got it.
The actual slushy machine.
Only what's actually for sale. But you do get double the points for the first 90 days. Just go to EarnifiRewards.com to download the app.
Available at participating locations only. App content is subject to change.